Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. General at your service. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champ, ready to break it down here for you. Got Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fix it to go 4.5 this afternoon. You do have Rangers baseball as they'll take on the Diamondbacks coming up at 6:30. Woolchuck and Chia follower in the house. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah. Hit that like video, that like button on the YouTube, would you? That'd be doing us a real solid. Help spread the word of Dallas Fan Cam on YouTube. Let everybody know some good content's going on over here. Might want to join us, talk some Cowboys, and we'll do quite a bit of that here throughout the show, including in just a few minutes. But we do need to set the table for baseball. CY's coming up at 4:20. Disaster against the Phillies. Feels like the Rangers might be on a little bit of thin ice here. 2.5 out of the wild card, 6.5 out of the division. This is a yo-yo situation, and that does not feel good. Because you know who yo-yos? 500 baseball teams.
Mm-hmm.
Losers. People that sit at home in October. I don't want to accept that. Felt like we were out of the woods, but dude, how many runs have they scored in the last five games? Gosh. Is that like nine?
I think five. I mean, not a lot. And not five, a lot. I think the whole series against the Phillies.
Five against the Phillies. I mean, they scored two runs twice against the Yankees. So to what extent does offense concern CY? Obviously, the lefty pitchers get you. And that continues to happen. Wouldn't you feel like we have to reconstruct this lineup in a massive way?
Yes.
We can't hit lefties. You can't just keep going into the future not being able to hit lefties like this, right?
Right. That's one of the things that all the people I know, like on Rangers Twitter, that were lamenting all weekend long, the fact that you did not get a bat at the deadline. It's like, I get it, but one bat's not solving this problem.
Well, and you don't think they were trying? Like, that's some of the biggest whining possible that I've heard. Like, you really don't think CY was aware? You really don't think he was trying to add a bat? It didn't happen. So when he realized, I can't get a bat, the asking price is too high, he pivoted and they strengthened the pitching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the offense is a problem, but to just, like, pretend or think that they ignored it and they thought their offense was fine is a load of BS. CY was trying. Unfortunately, it just didn't come to fruition.
No, didn't. And you don't want your GM overpaying. You know, you don't want him giving up really good prospects for hitters that, you know, might just be hot or, you know, aren't going to set you up to be a good offense for the long term. So I salute CY. I think he's doing a masterful job. He's coming up at 4:20. But, you know, we do have, you know, the need for a spark right now. Lost four in a row. The Diamondbacks coming in, maybe that can give the guys a little bit of a bump, you know, seeing the 2023 World Series opponent here. Maybe Arizona's going to do that for you. The Rangers, by the way, 36-24 at home, 60-59 overall. So you better make some hay here. They have gone 37-7 in games in which they've scored at least five runs. It'll be Eovaldi against Nelson this evening. And the consensus around baseball is that Eovaldi has missed too much time here. And Scooble's too good for Nate to win the Cy Young, at least with, six and a half weeks to go. But, you know, what if we get a no-hitter or a perfect game? That would change that, wouldn't it?
Certainly would. Oh, I mean, he's number three right now in the odds. He's at that innings limit where he's now finally eligible. So, look, Scooble's a monster. I think Scooble's been the favorite all year long. I'm not going to be upset if he gets it. But what Evo has been doing, and especially at his age, is incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, for the D-backs, this is a series that they should sweep. They need to sweep. I'm not going to overreact to getting swept by the Phillies. The Phillies could end up being the representative of the National League in the World Series. They're one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball. You knew that was going to be a tough series. And it's not necessarily defending the Rangers. I've just done this before, where I said I'm waving the white flag, and here you go. They rack off a nice stretch, and they're right back. They're still in contention right now. You're just 2.5 back, and Cleveland, I don't believe. I think Cleveland's gotten hot. They were a team that was trading assets at the deadline. The Yankees are leaking oil. I think both those teams regress. I think the Rangers still have a great shot to claim that third and final wild card spot.
All right, terrific stuff, boys. We are going to talk Cowboys here in just a couple of minutes, but I do believe congrats are in order for the Longhorns, huh? First time ever. AP number one it is amazing how much money they make and how incomplete their dominance has been over the years. Like they pepper in a great year every couple of decades, and then boom, you know, they're the richest university in all of college sports, you know. Now, I would say, not to be negative, but I would say this is shaping up now to be the first time in program history where maybe you are as good as your popularity. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you have the superstar quarterback. We'll see if he can meet expectations or come anywhere close to those. But, yeah, you've seen now they've put some consistent seasons together. The defense is truly going to be one of the best in college football. So, but it is just crazy to consider this is the first time in college football history that they're number one in the AP poll. That doesn't seem right. That would have been a great trivia question.
Yeah, but I guess it's the times they would have been number one, there must have just been, like, you had the USC run in those 2000s with VY, so I assume USC was probably at the top of the rankings. The year afterwards, I think it was Ohio State.
What about in the 60s?
Yeah.
What about like in 1990?
Yeah, you win 63, 69, and 70.
Campbell days?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering.
They was it like Oklahoma, Notre Dame?
Oklahoma was really good. Oklahoma ranked ahead of them. Very good. And Alabama was very good in the early 70s.
But it's shocking, absolutely. Yeah.
How are you not number one in 1970 coming off a national championship?
That's what I wondered.
Right?
Weird.
Okay, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame, Oregon, Bama, LSU, Miami. That's your top 10. Penn State, number two. SMU, 16th. OU, 18th. Aggies 19th and Tech there is 23rd. Okay, you know, a lot of different ways to talk about the Cowboys. I think it's important to note, you know, I don't care if this team doesn't win or they don't look good as a unit, fails to impress. What I'm looking for are players, you know, who can join the group of difference makers, maybe be a starter. But you know, it's hard because, you know, to keep it real, and a lot of people just want to focus on the positives right now. There's certainly, you know, an option to just look at this and be honest and say what this offseason has generally been about is betting on a lot of young players, a lot of them undrafted, because you won't allocate money and your draft sucked in 23 and 24, you know? So this is really hammering home the idea that it's a draft and develop team. And what happens when you don't draft well is you have massive holes on your roster and you have people that weren't even drafted trying to fill it. Mm-hmm. And we're basically just like, you know, speculating. We got our pan down in the river looking for a fleck of gold. Oh, which one's it going to be? Oh, who's going to get lucky and maybe get a nugget, an undrafted guy who could actually play? You got to be kidding me. Like that is an exercise in frustration watching Cowboys preseason football, a bunch of names, a bunch of numbers, a bunch of faces that nobody recognizes unless you were in Oxnard, and hoping, holding your breath that busts from other teams, undrafted guys can step in here and somehow be a starter. I mean, to find one of them every 5 years is a miracle.
Yeah, it's that 23 draft class that they need to cut bait on, the first two picks. That's my biggest issue with this team right now. And I think for Shoddy, somebody that wants to instill a new culture, let's go ahead and shake some things up here. And if you're not earning your place, we're moving on from you. And I will give them credit. They've done it with two draft picks the last 2 years where they traded. They basically swapped, and neither of the swaps did anything for either team. But, you know, you get Igbinoghene for your corner that stunk, and then last year, Nashon Wright for Andrew Booth, both of them not good players. But Mozzie, and Brian, I agree with everything you've said. He doesn't seem like he wants to be out there, and that's a problem. Sure. One, there's been no improvement, and we saw it from Tyler Guyton firsthand. Yeah. Like, that's a guy that we saw improvement, that wanted to, that put in work. You're going into year three now, and I get it. I'm somebody that also doesn't want to quit on a draft pick too early, but I think year three, and I've seen no improvements from you, we're done here. We're moving on. Same thing with Scooney. Scooney's whole thing when he came in and got drafted was he's a really good blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. That was his best trait coming out of Michigan, in my opinion. That guy cannot sustain a run block, and he is screwing you in the run game. And that's why you saw a guy in Brevin Spanford go ahead and leapfrog him on the depth chart. I thought Tyler Neville can block better than Schoonmaker did. Frivaldo Fairweather is a better receiving tight end than what Scooney is. So I'm getting on the phone and I'm calling the Chargers. And I'm like, hey, we got a couple of your former Michigan Wolverines over here, Harbaugh. You want to do something with these guys? Chargers could use a tight end. Former second round pick Luke Schoonmaker. Do they have anybody on your roster on their roster that you'd like. They have a corner.
We kind of like that backup quarterback you got.
They have a new tackle. Yeah, I mean, I'll take it for a late round pick at this point. I don't even care. And I'm doing the same thing with Jalen Tolbert, because Tolbert's another one of these guys. He's going into year four. He's going to be a free agent. I'm seeing more from Holden. I think Mingo had a good game. He's getting open when you go back and watch the tape. Flannoy's getting open when you go back and watch the tape. Like, I've got some other guys that can step up here and fill that role. Mm-hmm. And Tolbert should have some value. He's had success in the NFL. But you got to go ahead and shake some things up. You can't just keep people around because they were draft picks years. You want to just hold on and hope eventually they produce.
Can I ask you guys something real quick? What happened to the R in Flannoy?
I don't know. That has been...
Apparently that it wasn't supposed to
be. It wasn't supposed to be there?
I don't care.
Yeah. I think that was a grammatical mistake.
Okay.
On the birth certificate, and they just ran with
silent.
It.
I've been going Flournoy as people have been saying Flannoy, and I'm like, why are these people saying Flannoy? And then I think it was this weekend that it hit me, maybe. I was listening to the play-by-play. I was like, well, hot damn it, it's Flannoy?
Yeah.
I mean, it should be, doesn't matter, you know, practice squad. It should be more of a focus on the Joneses wasting whatever's left of Dax Prime and having Pickens and Lamb. This is just like 11, 12, and 13 where you had Dez Bryant and you had Hall of Fame Jason Witten still playing at a high level, and you're like, well, I guess we're just going to try to make the playoffs because, we can't be good until we dominate the drafts 4 years in a row. And then, boom, they finally dominated enough drafts that in 2014 they could take off, right? And then all the way until 2022, that offensive line kept this team in the mix and believing that they could contend. And they had some great regular seasons. But now that's gone. And I really think that offensive line insulated us from the reality of just how turtle on their back the Cowboys are when they look at a roster that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Nothing we can do about it. Well, maybe we can trade for George Pickens, give the fans a star player to watch. It's only going to cost us a couple of mil and a third round pick. Perfect. So, that's my main takeaway from these preseason games. Depth sucks. Not enough good young players. Looking at seventh round picks, and some of them are decent. I think we're seeing like legitimate NFL careers being carved out, but you got to find difference makers. And there's not enough of them out there. We will look at obviously some of the players that we like, and Brian's Krusty's corner's coming up at 340. He's going to probably do a deep dive on the film, I'm imagining.
I've got it all for you. I'm ready to roll.
He's been so fired up to get that all 22, man. You should have seen him all giddy on Friday, just checking and making sure everything's still buttoned up.
It was all there, man.
The end zone view, just ready to rock.
I mean, my guys are I thought Nate Thomas was pretty good at left tackle. I thought Leofau, decent linebacker. Maffa, dirty yard guy.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty
mm-hmm.
yard guy like that.
DYG.
I think Holden might be the third best pure wide receiver. Maybe you prefer Mingo. Maybe you prefer Tolbert because of the gadgety stuff or the physical run game stuff with Mingo. Holden's got me sold. He might just be Mr. Training Camp, but damn it, he's impressive. He was a star in college, right? He's just slow. I think this is the guy that I was watching, all camp and then Saturday night and thinking I could see this guy starting and making an impact. I believe they might have found one here.
He immediately got on the field. Had two catches.
Yeah.
And one biggest was the biggest play of the game, 35 yards.
Yeah, on that play, it was really cool and he did something really, really smart for a young receiver because his release, he gets wide, but he stays along the boundary because the minute you start to work inside, you're going towards the safety. And so he gave himself enough room between the safety and the corner to get the ball. Milton found him, and Milton threw it. It was a beautiful throw. But Holden, if he works back to the inside, he's carrying himself to the safety, and there's probably a collision. So he stayed wide along the sidelines and gave himself a chance. That's a smart play for a young player.
I read about Zion Childress before the game in the Todd Archer piece.
Yeah.
And he linked to this hit that he had in college. So I was like, cool. And then there he is in the game. He leads you in tackles. Like, that's going to be a fun one as well to continue to track.
They need to think about what's going on at nickel corner now.
Kamon Hall was lost.
Yeah, and that's the problem is that they really rely on Hall to do that, but they need to keep this thing open, and we'll see how if in fact, because it might be just play bland and figure something out on the other side. We talked to Bland, as we know, and he didn't want anything to do with playing inside, but they might have to. They need to get Carson and Josh Butler back.
It's got to be very exciting for the young players up there, because you legitimately get a chance as a practice team player to start NFL games and get NFL checks. Like, yeah. I'm talking to my agent, like, let me get to the Cowboys if I'm trash.
And they've got to sign somebody to line up and play against the Eagles. Because if you're going out there with Andrew Booth and Troy Pride Jr., and no disrespect to the Booth and the Pride families.
You've got to be kidding me.
Holy crap, you're asking to just get your ass kicked.
We're going to see a lot of pride in the Eagles' booth as they're dancing in the end zone.
Proud Brian's all over filthy.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we have some Cowboys content coming up for you today, including the C-Note at 3:20, Krusty's Corner at 3:40, Brian Billick at 4 o'clock, the Super Bowl winning coach with the Ravens. He joins us almost every year on Radio Row, and he's outstanding. I mean, he's incredibly entertaining. He knows football so well, can tell stories or break down. And, of course, we'll be talking Cowboys Ravens with him quite a bit coming up at 4. And then the CY show at 4:20. So we'll go back-to-back guests there. Coming up at 2:40, best of the weekend. We got Woolchuck's top 10 around the corner and the G-Bag of the Day champion. Woolchuck, what's the subject today?
Let's go top 10 active NFL triplets by college affiliation. 877-881-1053. This will be a fun game. Let's go ahead and do that next.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment here, we're going to get the G-Bag of the Day champ in just a sec, and then we'll get Woolchuck's top 10. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Best of the weekend's coming up here at 2:40. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Hey, Lucius has
yo,
the champ.
Hey, yo. Vacated title there, Mr. General.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very nice.
From the RJ and Chappie show, Shondaliza won 5 times.
Shondaliza.
Congrats, Sean.
I can't wait for him to catch wind of that.
Yeah. Why is he calling me? What?
Shondaliza?
Never liked him.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
What's he trying to say? I never liked that guy.
Never understood him.
Yeah. Are we going to be pulling up to the Sharif pool party coming up here in a couple of weeks?
Absolutely.
The Sunnyvale extravaganza?
Tell you what, I've got my
just found out
tickets.
About it.
Yeah. I know you were on the group message.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
That man, you know what?
Might have been a block number.
Yeah. What is this coming from?
He's got a block.
Yeah. I'll be there late. I got my buddy, my sharding friend, his 1 year old
mad poop.
Son.
Don't bring him.
He's not going to be showing up, but I got to head out to his son's birthday party. He's also a massive Texas fan, so I'll watch Texas Ohio State over there. And then drive all the way across town to go to Sean's.
Are you going
to
do the gag gift of like, hey, those diapers weren't actually for your son.
They're for you? They were for you. Absolutely. And I'm going to make sure I shart on his couch.
Yeah, I think that's only fair. Eye for an eye.
I have a developing situation. I was so eager to be like, yeah, I'll be there. You know, I'm a team guy. Let's do this. That I kind of forgot it was the lady's birthday.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, glad you caught that now.
Yes. Well, I hollered across the house. I said, Abby, do we have a soccer game on the 30th? And she said, no, why? I said, okay, we're good to go. Cool. And then I hear wifey going, why are you asking about the 30th?
I go, well, of course I was thinking about your birthday, sugar, but don't want to spoil any of the surprises.
Ready, that's exactly how I played it, dude. Yeah, dude, I was awesome. I was definitely thinking on my toes that day. So, but I guarantee we'll at least make an appearance. Okay, and I think that's more than I've done in the past.
You
so should be appreciated.
You should show up with your chicken wings and be like, all right, the food's here.
It's time now for Woolchuck's top 10 at 2:20. Here he is, Zach with an H.
Okay, we'll get to the top 10 NFL triplets by college affiliation. 877-881-1053. So you can text these in now. The criteria for this is it's your traditional triplets, your quarterback, your running back, your wide receiver.
Oh,
so that's what it is. We're not getting cute.
Can't throw a tight end in there?
Nah, we're not doing that. It's
so just QB, RB, WR.
QB, RB, wide receiver, just like the Cowboys triplets in the 90s.
Well, then it's the...
And we're doing active players. Now, you can text in, like, if you want to go historically. I'm totally cool with that. We can take a trip down memory lane, but we'll get to that top 10 here in just a second. Brian, did you see the speech your guy John Gruden gave to the Georgia Bulldogs?
Yeah, I did.
Wow, it was riveting. Here was Gruden, as he's letting everybody know he's ready to come back and coach.
He is.
The only reason I really came here is I want to coach again. I'm being honest with you. I do not bullshit either. I want to coach again. I'd die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would love it.
What?
That boy's campaigning, you hear me?
Yeah.
Please.
Yes. Please, please, please.
I would die to coach in the SEC. I would effing love it.
You think anybody gives him a shot next year? I mean, hey, if Brian Kelly and LSU fail, would you be advocating for Gruden to take over as coach of the Tigers?
I would hope that Nick Saban maybe would want to coach. That's where I would go first.
Okay.
That's where I would try first.
I think the SEC is a perfect place for Gruden. So the SEC will let him be.
Go Tigers. Maybe Ole Miss.
The Razorbacks.
Let me hear it with the hard R.
The Razorbacks seem like a prime opportunity to have a coach vacancy.
Sam Pittman, definitely on the hot seat there. That's a good call. And then Jimbo Fisher's also trying to get back in the game.
Saw that too.
He's been chatting with podcasts and ESPN.
These guys are amazing, dude.
It's crazy.
I mean, he's got more money than you could ever fathom.
He just can't stay away.
They have nothing else in their life, though. Their families have kind of been raised without them. So they don't have any real connection with their kids. You know, a lot of their kids are probably older and had their own families and stuff. And so, yeah, dad's been gone for so long, it's hard for them to. The only thing they know how to do is coach. And so that's the unfortunate thing. When these guys retire, they usually go and die. You know, especially the older ones, like it happened to Bear Bryant, Joe Paterno, those guys, all of a sudden they stop coaching and then they get sick and then they're gone. You know, that's all they've ever known how to do is coach. And
keeps you alive.
Yeah, it really does.
He said he's 59, he's in great shape, and he's healthy.
Who's this, Gruden or?
Jimbo.
Jimbo? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said Gruden's the same age as me.
So. We'll see if anybody wants to bring Jimbo in next year, but he's looking to jump back in. And UFC fans, we got a big win today. Now, if you don't have Paramount Plus, you're going to need to get it, but either way, we're saving a bunch of money, all right? So the UFC reached a seven-year, $7.7 billion media rights deal with Paramount. Mm. So what this means is, no more pay-per-view. So they were charging $80 for a pay-per-view fight. And we got another good one coming up this Saturday. But now it's $13 a month, $12.99 for Paramount Plus. And once you get it, you don't have to charge for any extra. There's no more pay-per-view.
Oh,
so if you just
nice.
Pay the $13 a month for Paramount Plus, you're going to get whatever the heck streaming shows that they've got and they're offering.
Badass.
Plus, you're just going to get all the UFC cards included in the package. So, if you are just a UFC fan and you were somebody that would pay $80 a month for a pay-per-view event, you're saving a ton just by subscribing $13 a month to Paramount Plus.
This feels like the rare win when it comes to the streaming stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it was all supposed to be more affordable, you get what you want, and now we're all spending way more than we should.
Yeah, I was reviewing my Hulu bill over the weekend, and apparently there's all these ways you can add on to it, and Paramount Plus was one of them, and Max was one of them, and it just kept going and going and going, and she had added everything. We were over $200. I'm like, what's going on?
Like, let's just get a new thing called cable and run it back.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't have to worry about navigating through everything.
I don't get it. And now, like, ESPN and Fox have reached an agreement. They're going to, like, combine so you can get the direct-to-consumer service for both together. So you can get your ESPN and your Fox. But I don't know, like, what is really the big benefit in having either of these if you've already got ESPN and Fox. Like, I know some of these, like, YouTube TV apparently isn't doing
ESPN. Yeah, I think this is a lot for people that just don't have cable or don't have ESPN for whatever reason that want to get exposure to it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it, which it's like if you want ESPN, you're probably somebody that already has it.
Or like you're paying for ESPN Plus or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. All this, the more I read about it, the less I understand it.
It gets more confusing by the day. It really does. I don't get this. I need somebody to explain it to me like I'm five.
All right, just get the NFL Plus app, right?
Yeah, and that's people were asking, hey, where'd you get the All-22? I get it with the NFL Plus app, and they sometimes it's a slower turnaround.
It's actually on special now, so if you register... Ooh. It's you get $20 off. So
should I cancel and then resub?
Well, yeah, it's like $99. Yeah, it's actually on special right now. If you jump in there,
well, that's awesome. But yeah, they had the preseason All-22 up the next day. I was pumped about it. So what's the turnaround on that?
It can be a couple days. Sometimes it can be easily 2 days.
Yeah,
like do you think they're trying to be? Do you think they're trying to be better about
it? They should be. I mean, I'm paying for it. I shouldn't have to wait till Wednesday. Once we're already kind of moving on to the next team to be able to go back and watch the All-22 from Sunday.
Monday morning, it should be there.
Yeah.
Like, you played on Sunday, it should be there.
It stinks. All right, let's dive into this top 10. Triplets by college affiliation. All right, this is current players
LSU team's number one.
Wide receiver, running back. Just missed the cut here.
Oh, wait a minute. Now you
it's
got to
be Ohio. I'm thinking Ohio State if you consider Burrow.
Running back. I considered the wide receivers. I went
Burrow. Would not be considered for Ohio State.
Okay. Because no, otherwise, Burrow's
on Team LSU here. Ohio State also does have another quarterback that you can put on here.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And everybody knows
Stroud, right?
Pretty good one. Did you not know? Were you brain farting? I was like,
who's the other
Justin
Buckeye
Fields.
Quarterback? Yeah, Justin Fields.
No, but the honorable mention is actually Louisville on this list because you've got Lamar Jackson, Isaac Garendo, who is the backup for Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco, and then Tutu Atwell. And then you also have USC with Caleb Williams, Marshawn Lloyd with the Green Bay Packers, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown. Number 10, Michigan State. Cousins, Kenneth Walker, and Jaden Reed. Solid trio.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been, if Kirk Cousins was still starting quarterback, it would have been better. I think that just shows how difficult it is going to be tough. To put this together. If that's cracking the top 10, you got to back up quarterback.
I was putting together Burrow and two wide receivers is what I mean, did like, initially.
That makes it more... It's more challenging.
That's why I'd say LSU should be number one. Yeah.
Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and this is active. So if you want, and I had some people on Twitter, and I did kind of open it up like all time if you want to do that. That'd be also a fun exercise. Ooh. But North Carolina is at number 9. Drake May, Amarian Hampton.
Josh Downs. I love that.
That's a fun one.
That's a trio right there, boys.
8, Iowa State. The Cyclones.
Oh, Purdy.
Let's all get wasted coming in at and the
Brees,
quarterback.
Is it Brees Hall?
Breesy Hall.
And then who's the – would it be one of these new rookies? Is it Higgins or something?
Higgins or Knoll.
Or Knoll.
They do go with Jalen Knoll, who didn't look bad in the Houston Texans' first preseason game. They got both. They got Higgins and Knoll there in Houston. 7, quack, quack, quack. We go to Oregon. Justin Herbert.
Yeah, your favorite quarterback.
Bucky Irving.
Strong.
And a possible breakout candidate this year.
Trayshon Holden.
Let's go. Oh. With Troy Franklin.
Where do you consider, by the way, as we play this game, where do you consider Hurts? What school?
I think you got to go Boomer.
Yeah, I think so, too. You want a Heisman at Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think you got to go with him there.
All right.
But, damn, that's, yeah, I think I'd go OU.
Because you'd probably have Tua as the Alabama quarterback.
Yeah, well, I think... You'd probably have Baker, wouldn't you, as the OU quarterback? Would you go Baker?
Yeah.
We'll see if Oklahoma makes this.
I guess
maybe
I'm trying to think.
He's
a Baker guy. I think I'm trying to put Derrick Henry somewhere. Is what I'm trying to do.
Henry would be there for Alabama for sure.
Yeah, and now you got to think of the Alabama quarterbacks and stuff like that, and then the wide receivers are pretty easy to do.
Yeah, Clemson comes in at 6. Trevor Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, or Travis Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, and T. Higgins. Phil Moffitt just needs to step it on up, baby.
Billy.
RB1. Let's go.
The Moffa Mafia.
I love Moffa and Blue. That should be your backfield. Let's just rock with Moffa and Blue. They complement each other well. I like it.
I think Javonte Williams in, Miles Sanders cut, Moffa Blue. Lipke, right? You need
Lipke.
Yeah. You need some versatility in
Lipke
there.
Lipke in there. We'll give the ball to Turpin a little bit, too. Fine. Give the young guys the ball.
Well, now, what about Malik Davis, though?
Malik Davis is, this is kind of Malik Davis's story.
He's the preseason king. He wants nothing to do with playoff games, right? Didn't he punt on a playoff game?
He didn't want to play against the Niners.
He's like, I'll save that regular season playoff stuff for you
I'm not
going
to play. Why do I need to get on this flight?
Give me that mop-up duty preseason action to make my heart happy.
And then Tony Pollard gets hurt, and they're like, crap, we actually need Malik Davis, but he quit on us. So should we not put him in the game? Yeah, we're not going to put him in the game. Let Zeke go out there and play center. LSU comes in at 5. Burrow. Gosh, we need to get a better running back in here. They will in a couple of years. We'll get the Duncanville kid.
Is it still Clyde?
Still Clyde.
He's with the Saints now, right?
Yeah, he is. And Jamar Chase. Wow.
4. Bulletin board material for Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you can only pick one wide receiver.
Yeah, it's hard not to go, what have you done for me lately? And lately, Jamar Chase, off a great season, and what he just did to Keely Ringo in the preseason game. How bad does it feel to be Keely Ringo? You're like, I'm trying to make this team. Here we go. Everybody's backups are in. Oh, God. It's Burrow and Chase. This is not good for my chances.
Did Hurts not win the Heisman? Hurts won a Heisman, right? I thought he won the Heisman.
I thought it was
like Kyler and Hurts. Did they go back to back? Or maybe it was Baker and Kyler.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
So Hurts didn't win a Heisman at
OU? I know the older Heismans more than I know the newer Heismans.
I need help here. I could be.
Yeah, 2019.
He did win. Okay, thank you.
You know ball.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Ball knower.
Ohio State at 4. CJ Stroud.
Oh, wait.
Quinshon Judkins.
What are you? Are you wrong over there?
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, there we go. I think so. He was. Wow, this is confusing. I guess he was. Was he just the runner up?
Might have been the
Who won
up.
It?
In 2019.
It was 2019. Who the heck won? Okay, well, this is great.
Hang on. I could tell you all about Larry Kelly and
Burrow. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, so Hurts was a finalist. He was in the mix. Allegedly.
Interesting. Okay, we'll do some research on this. Alabama at 3, Tua, Jahmyr Gibbs, Devontae Smith. That's a pretty stacked trio. The two ahead of this has got to be awesome. Georgia, Stafford, James Cook, Ladd McConkey. Okay, that's pretty damn good. But number one, it is the fight in Oklahoma Sooners.
Burrow, Devontae Smith, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Travis Hunter. The last five.
So 2019 was Burrow.
Burrow, yeah.
It was
yeah.
2020.
2020 was...
Was that Devontae Smith?
Devontae Smith.
Okay. Baker, Mixon, CeeDee Lamb. That's pretty damn awesome. And you could sub out Baker for Hurts if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I guess
you
could sub out Tua for Hurts if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's tough to do that. I think you do
but
have
Tua
to.
But Tua
won that
natty. You got to give Tua the edge.
Well, from the college standpoint, for sure, yes. Just, but in terms of like right now with the NFL, you would have to go Hurts.
I'm taking Hurts. But Baker, Joe Mixon, CeeDee Lamb, the best quarterback, running back, wide receiver trio in the NFL based on college affiliation.
Terrific stuff, Woolchuck. Hit your top 20 every afternoon at 2:20 here on 105.3 The Fan. We're coming back with more sports here for you and a best of the weekend, right, Chief?
We may have set an all-time record for weekend sports flubs. That's next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll have the top stories of the afternoon. We'll talk Cowboys, Rangers, and a question for you. Where's your Rangers' confidence at right now, and what tier would you put them on as contenders? Is it tier 1, 2, 3? Or other. Here's the Chief with the best of.
Okay, so this was a weekend filled with sports flubs. Okay,
and painful.
Yeah, it was painful for some folks.
Okay,
I actually got in the mix on the Flubberooskies there in the pregame show. Unfortunately, we won't relive that right now. Hopefully,
I heard that live, man. I heard that live.
I'm glad
your brother
you did.
Said, "I'll make sure you go on that one later." I was like, "Yep, please do."
Broadus couldn't wait. Yeah, because Broadus has racked up to his credit. He's racked up a lot of G Bag of the Year nominees,
and now
he's scouring and capitalizing on every opportunity when one of us makes a G-Bag of the Day worthy flub. And
he's
I absolutely had one.
He's going to own the G-Bag of the Year.
He is, yeah.
I think Sean might defeat me with that thing. Yeah,
you're just trying to speak that into existence.
No, I've got like 7 nominees. I'm like, you know.
We could have your own bracket. We could have our own broadest bracket.
Broadest bracket.
No question.
But I got in the mix on this. It was disappointing. I'm sure we'll hear it at some point later on in the program.
Hopefully G-Bag of the Day.
But let's start with our guy, CeeDee Lamb, and the penalty. Like, how are you able to, in street clothes, create a flag-worthy play in a game? Well, CeeDee Lamb managed to do that. Here was Kyle Yeomans on the broadcast breaking it down.
This happened right in front of me. CeeDee Lamb was celebrating Jonathan Mingo getting behind his defender. He was so excited, he jumped in front of an official, and the official ran over CeeDee Lamb. On the sideline, that's where the penalty comes in, and he was off the sideline, he was outside of the box, and so CD's the one that's being penalized here for the Cowboys sideline infraction.
Where's the get back coach?
Yep, he was not there.
Come
apparently
on.
Maybe you need to invest in a second one. Yeah, maybe one's not enough here. But I think what's different for CeeDee is, you know, he's usually doing his own thing. This is a big leadership season for CeeDee. So he's getting off the bench. He's rah-rahing his guys. He's doing what Shoddy wants. And it just, you know, it's a learning opportunity.
I just can't believe how hard of a hit he took right there.
I'm surprised he didn't get hurt.
That could have gone spinal real quick.
Yeah,
I mean, that was whiplash.
Yeah,
I thought that ref was like an Eagles fan or something.
Yeah. It looked like one of those Jet 2 holiday videos. Hold on.
His back cave. Dude.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now.
You seen those?
Oh, it's viral. TikTok's blowing up with that.
Jet 2 holiday.
Yeah, Nick Eatman was saying he thinks he was actually a little more hurt than he let on.
Oh, I guarantee it.
You know, because you can't. I mean, you got to just pretend, I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's an embarrassing moment.
Meanwhile, you got vertebrae issues.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Neck pain.
You got a he's bulging definitely, disc in your back.
He's going to the chiropractor double time this week.
Yeah, that was massively embarrassing, so embarrassing that you can't show any signs of pain on your face. I'm fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Absolutely.
Even if you're on level 10 in your head.
We had some good local broadcasting this weekend, starting with our guy Ted Emmerich getting the call up next to Eric Nadell. Listen to them talk ball. This is just high-level baseball stuff, boys and girls.
Oh, there was a pitch clock violation.
Pitch clock violation. Is it a trip up on that?
Not so smooth now, are we, Ted?
It's amazing. It's amazing how one letter can just change everything.
Where's Bob Costas with a line about your ancestors looking down upon you in shame?
Oh, what the hell is this, Ted? I would love a six-finger lid.
How much sleep did Ted lose over that? Because he is a professional, polished, I care about my job broadcaster, and it was just one consonant that completely threw off what was a perfect game.
Yeah.
Really incredible stuff.
He was just moments from Wally Pipping Jared Sandler.
That's right. Yeah, he was right there.
On the doorstep.
And then he took that L and ate it. All right, here is, we take it to the world of NASCAR. Sure, Broadus was all over this one.
Mm.
This was really exciting stuff, as I don't even know exactly. This was the Xfinity series, and you have the NASCAR Phenom, the 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Second youngest driver to make the Cup Series debut since Joey.
He's 19?
Yeah, 19.
Oh, man, this is like what a 40-year-old dude would do. This is not a 19-year-old guy type move, man, right here.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
That's the move you make at 40 where you're like, can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people tweeting about how I've been watching racing for 50-plus years. I've never seen anything like this happen. Here he is.
It's pathetic. Now we know why he didn't play a real sport.
This is like Carl Edwards would do this and backflip out of his car.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, not even Tony Stewart did that. Yeah.
It was a bad weekend for sports Connors. We start with this guy, Connor Zilish, and this is the broadcast. It's not like the greatest sound ever, but just to give you a feel for what was happening after he won, he's elated. He's climbing out of his car window, and he's going to do the thing where he gets up on the car and celebrates.
Seven career wins. Let's go down to Mobile One Victory Lane, Dylan.
Oh, he went down on the cage stand.
Oh, my gosh, he fell.
And that's pretty much it. And then he broke his collarbone in the process.
He was down still. The video ended before I could get the full story. Did it knock him out for a second?
They thought he might have had a concussion, and they were worried he might have broke his neck.
Oh, my God.
That's what they were really worried about. They ambulanced him out of there is what they did.
The way that his leg got stuck in the window, I thought he might have had a broken ankle, broken leg, broken lots of stuff.
You stand on that window net, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
It is, you know, those racing shoes and stuff like that. You know, it's probably his boot was probably wet and you're on the window net. Next thing you know. But yeah, that is a common occurrence of guys standing up and gals standing up in the window. It's just, that's what they do. They stand up there, wave the flag, jump down and do the radio interview.
Make it look easy.
But, man, he took a bad tumble.
Yeah, when I saw that the first time, that gave me that, you know, that you do when you're about to see a car wreck or something.
Yes.
Or as a parent watching your kid, like, teeter on the edge of falling out of a window like that.
Yeah, it's like slow motion. You can't do anything about it.
No.
Yeah, really unfortunate. Are we still doing the milk chug stuff?
That's Indy 500.
That's for the Indy. Yeah, okay. Because that, to me, that's a staple. I do dig that. If I was a NASCAR guy, I'd be like, let me do that right.
There's a sip and then pour, basically, is what Danny. Nobody really drinks all the milk.
They just kind of bathe their face in it a little bit.
It's kind of lather. But
it's the pageantry. It's
but
fun.
You get to pick what milk you want. You could pick the level of milk.
877-881-1053.
You could pick milk if you wanted to.
What's your milk?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want to waste the nutrient-dense breast milk.
Then you would drink all the milk.
You'd chug it.
I would actually drink that.
Straight from the tap.
I sure
taking
would.
Taking this with me, boys.
Okay. From one sports Connor fail to the next, we head to the Nexo Championship. This is pretty amazing. This is a putt that's 18 yards from the pin, and it ends up going like 100-plus yards away because of just how bad of a read this guy had on the green. And this is how it sounded on the broadcast.
What an awkward putt this is. Up the back edge of this green, down and away, breaking off the right with the wind tailing behind you.
There we go.
Goodness me. That is unbelievable what I've just seen there.
Still rolling.
What'd you say?
be back on the tee in a minute.
Yep. That's unbelievable. That's the very silent walk down there. Ooh. Well, have another feast your eyes on this, Dom. I know it's fast and downhill, but this is unbelievable.
It's one of those you don't want to see again, isn't it?
Yeah, gosh.
Those guys were beside themselves. The golf broadcasts are truly amazing.
It was a terrible putt.
Because they're sort of whispering. It's like an ASMR play-by-play. Yeah. Yeah.
That thing, it was a fast putt, and he hit it like when it got to the hole, it was cooking.
Mm.
Like it was, that thing had no chance. It rolled all the way down into the valley down there.
It just kept going.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. They're all just sitting there talking, and the ball hasn't stopped. It's like it just keeps rolling.
It was a proper comedy routine, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was, dude. Those guys were awesome.
Yeah,
you made it. I was like, they deserve their credit here. We can't just talk about this. Yeah. We need to go live to the broadcast.
Made a bit of a mess of it there. Eh?
Yeah. It's one of those you wish you'd never seen again. Yeah. What is that? What is that, like London or British comic style? Is there a word for it?
I mean, it's just deadpan.
Deadpan. Yeah, makes
sense. It's like you're like, huh. Oh, that's awful. Yeah. Never seen anything like that.
Oh, I like the shape of him.
Is this guy a professional golfer?
Have done. That's
one of those you don't want to watch again, isn't it?
Yeah, dude, it's just really good stuff right there, asking rhetorical questions.
Oh, they feel bad for the guy, but then again, like you get a guy like Johnny Miller used to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Miller would like, well, that's just a god-awful shot.
Yeah. The worst Johnny of the weekend was Johnny Damon. Holy.
What did he do?
Macaroni and cheese.
More naked pull-ups.
Oh, man, he just looked terrible.
In retirement?
They had the old-timers event at Yankee Stadium,
and he looks like all he's done is just go beer for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
He's on the Babe Ruth diet.
It was really
hanging out with Joe Namath.
Really scary to see him. And then you had Rivera tear his Achilles.
Got a base
which
hit.
Which is just... Gut
yeah, that
wrenching.
Was wild. I mean, they probably should get rid of this game.
How awful is that?
You know what?
What the hell? That's Johnny Damon? Yeah.
Thank you.
That looks like flipping Danny DeVito, bruh.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Looks like a long-haired Danny DeVito. Have you seen this, Brian?
I did.
You saw that. Okay.
I did.
I was driving back from Kansas City as this was going on.
That dude
on.
Has just been partying. Wasn't he? He was on Below Deck. Isn't that what Carter was saying?
Oh, well, no. I.
You were saying
because I'll Below Deck it on Bravo every once in a while. Not a bad reality show.
He was a good-looking guy. This looks like
the sweetest ass in the league.
This looks like Shrek.
I know.
It's not good.
His ass has actually become his face.
We got
face
ball
now.
Sack. That is not Johnny Damon.
No,
that's
a face
that's
not
that's
a ball
Johnny
sack.
Johnny Damon's brother.
Ask him how many Brissette Sandos he's
had. Yeah, that would be great. Let's get him on.
Johnny, how many?
Johnny, looking a little big. Light hair.
Hey, earthquake. What do you think, Johnny?
Waist size now?
All right. Quick impromptu game of Guess That Cowboy. Here's Babe Laufenberg in the pregame show.
I mean, incredible. His stroke, his motion is about as good as it gets.
It's Brandon Aubrey. Wrong.
Talking about the quarterback.
Milton? Yeah. That's a Joe Milton bit
right there. Yeah.
Sports analysis.
Has a lot of fans.
Shout out to him.
I got a Joe Milton theory I'll run past you here coming up at probably 3:20 or so. Top stories of the day. Where's your Rangers confidence? And more coming up next here to the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.